Father, right now, I just ask you to bless this word. All these scriptures that we're getting ready to break it down, Lord, and read it aloud together, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you make our hearts soft. Make our spirits soft. Let us not seek a word that reinforces our understanding, but let us seek for you to transform us and take us deeper in your word. Yes. Next level, Lord. Yes. To grow together, Lord. To grow stronger and closer to you. Let us receive this word, Lord. And let no tactic of the enemy distract your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus has been teaching about being the bread of life, and he says this statement in verse 43. But Jesus replied, "Stop complaining about what I said." Pause. I thought Jesus was always just so nice and patted everybody on the head. He just called those people out listening to his preaching and said, "Stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And the last day I will raise them up. And it is written in the scriptures, they will be taught by God.
Yes.
Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me.
Yes.
Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I who was sent from God have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life.
Yes.
Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die.
Yes.
I am the living bread.
Yes.
That came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Then the people begin arguing. And with each other about what that meant. How can this man give us flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. If anyone who calls this bread, eats this bread, will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. He's sitting here preaching in a church, and the people out there are arguing about what he's saying and mad about it. I'm going to finish it up right here. Many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are the Spirit of life. But some of you don't believe me." For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe it. He knew who would betray him. Then he said, "That is why people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me." At this point, listen to this verse, John 6:66. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Are you going to leave too?"
Yes.
The vast majority walked out on him in that moment.
That's right.
And he turned to the few remaining. And he looked at him and said, "Are you going to go too? Are you going to leave me too?" And Simon Peter. Peter's getting on your nerves. But they're the only ones that ever do a lick. But they're the only ones that ever get anything done. They're not pitiful. You don't feel sorry for them. They annoy you. But if you want something done, you better have some Peters around. You better have Simon Peter in your corner.
Yes.
Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words to give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. You may be seen." So, They've been going along and things have been going good. Bread, fish, loaves, people getting healed, a lot of excitement. He's preaching good news to people who were left out. They were excited. There was a momentum building. It was a revival. It was exciting. It was a populist movement. They were in a tough time and it really felt good to them. But then the real got real. And Jesus started preaching some tough stuff. And the point where it got real is the point where many people broke away.
Yes.
That's exactly right. That's where we're at.
It happens that way today.
It does.
We come to an altar. We need something from God. Things are exciting. At first, everything the preacher says is, oh man, it's like chocolate covered strawberries with everything he says. He can get up and preach on hell. Boy, that preacher's a good guy. Because we're excited. And things are rolling and we're hopeful. But there's always that point in the believer's walk where all of a sudden something don't go the way we want, or things get hard. Where the word gets hard. Where God challenges you with something that's going to stretch your belief system. Something that takes you somewhere that you've never been before. Something that's not what you grew up in. Something that's just hard for you to put your mind around. Something that just blows your logical, rational mind. And then many of his disciples leave. Now, some respond different. Some at that moment in the great divide said, where else would I go? Your words hold the power of life and death. Go. Yeah, I don't get all this, but where would I go? I don't know everything, but where else would I go? But some walk away and reject Jesus in those times. And we do that today. I want to tell you something that we need to know right now. We are in the most important time in human history right now for this planet.
Yes, we are.
This thing is winding down, if you believe it or not. Yes. And I think if I took a poll of believers, most believers who are real believers would probably agree with that statement right now.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not one of these guys that I can look at codes and this and that, because I believe the Bible says no one knows, not even the Son, but the Father. But I do know that I can tell by what the Word of God says that we know this thing is winding down.
Yes.
More than any time, we are getting to a point of a divide in this nation. We're getting to a point of divide in the church, in the world, where it's going to be a point where things are blowing up. And it's going to get a time where we need God like we've never needed God before. But God will be offensive to some.
This would be that.
God will offend some. Some are already being offended by God. I see in this culture, I'm not here to preach culture, I'm not here to preach politics, but I see in this culture that everybody's offended by God.
Yeah.
Not a God.
Yeah.
Not Buddha. I don't see any YouTube videos mad at Buddha.
No.
I see no campaigns mad at Buddha.
No.
I see nobody mad at Hinduism. I see nobody mad. There's nobody out there protesting the streets against these other religions. Why is everybody all of a sudden so mad at God and Jesus? And so, Jesus saw these times coming. He said, 2 Timothy 3 and 5, he names all these bad things that are going to happen in the end days. Men will be lovers themselves and all this bad stuff. But then it says something in verse 5. You want to put that up, Lakin? I'm going to eat you, Lakin. We're going to be hitting verses like it's going to pop, 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 popcorn. It's going to be like the microwave popcorn. There's going to be verse on verse. You're going to be ready today. I'm going to stretch you today. Where he says this, he says that all these bad things people will do, but they will have a form of godliness without power. Now he puts that, he lumps that in the same category as all this other bad stuff. Go back one verse, Bacon. I didn't tell you to do that, but go back one more. We're going to read all three of them. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and they'll hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, puffed up in pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will, now listen to this. They will act religious. But they will reject the power that can make them godly. What does the word say? Stay away from people like that. He lumps it in. He lumps the religious lack of power, the religious blase, let's go to church, feel good about ourselves, get to the country club, get to the back nine, get to the golf course, get to the lake, get to the mall, get to the little league game, get to the fish house. He lumps that in the same category as all this other stuff that everybody's always up in arms about. He says, that's the stuff that's going to happen.
Yes, it is.
He says, stay away from all of them. So this era that we're seeing, Jesus knew we would need power. Say, power.
Power.
He knew you would need power. You're going through tough times. It's a tough time to be alive. It's going to get tougher. It will get darker out there in the world. But I got good news. Those in the kingdom is advancing. And it shall always advance. And the light is getting lighter. Because in the last day, he says he will pour out his power. He will pour out his spirit on all people. Hallelujah. So, some will leave when things get tough. I pray as this church is facing this time, and as God gives us words and teachings going forward that will prepare you for this time. I pray it doesn't offend you. When John the Baptist, when his followers came to see Jesus and said, are you really the Messiah or should we look for another? He said, tell them all this stuff's happening. Lame are being healed. Blinded eyes are open. And good news is being preached to the poor. And blessed are those that don't get offended from me. The devil don't want you to walk in power. He has no problem with you knowing Bible stories. He'd rather you not. But he has no problem with that. He has no problem you going to a quasi-religious ceremony. But what he's scared of is power. He's scared for you to walk in power. He's scared for you to know the power that's been poured out for you. The power that the Holy Spirit represents in your life. He's scared of that. And so Jesus knew that. So Jesus, knowing where this thing was going, gives us instructions. And if Jesus gives us instructions, how many knows it's powerful?
Yes.
You want to hear what Jesus says?
Yeah,
all right, what did Jesus say? He left us some instructions. He said several things. He said, number one, love God, love people.
Yes.
He also gave us the Great Commission. Go make disciples.
Yes.
Baptize.
Yes.
Make disciples.
Yes.
But he also, going back to the horn, he tells us to do all this, but how? How? Here's what he says. John 14:12. Whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. And greater works than these will he do. Because I'm going to the Father. So Jesus says right there that you're to do. Now some people will walk out on this, maybe. I don't know. If we really apply it, if we really believe it. Because we have no trouble believing John 3:16. And you have no trouble believing that God will get you up and you die one day. That Papa will get up. You don't have trouble believing that, really. But what you have trouble believing is right here, what the Scripture clearly says, words of Jesus, that you're supposed to do what I do and even more.
Yes!
In the Bible, and Jesus said, you're supposed to do what I do. And I can give you plenty of scriptures where he says that. Where he says, do as I do.
Yeah.
How many of y'all got kids? And you tell them, do as I do, not as I say.
Yeah.
That's what they really said. You said, do as I say, not as I do. But Jesus, throughout the scriptures, tells us, I'm here to walk this thing out so you know how to walk it. You follow me, Tony. You get behind me and walk this thing out, and you do what I do. Oh, we got to go to the next verse then. So he tells us to love God, love people. He tells us to go make disciples. And he tells us to do the things I do and did. And even greater. Next verse, Lincoln. Mark 16, 17.
You're confusing me.
Oh, it's going to be a lot faster.
16,
say, go, Lincoln.
Go, Lincoln.
Go, Lincoln. Thank you.
These, okay.
Oh,
listen.
Come on.
Listen. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Now, hold up. Does it say these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe for the next 100 years, but it'll stop and then never happen again? Does it say it'll follow those who live in Africa or go to crusades in Africa? Does it say it'll follow great preachers who are... It says those who believe. Are you those who believe?
Yes.
Is the Bible true?
Yes.
Is all of it true or just the parts of God? You know, Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, he cut out the things he couldn't accept. It's called Jefferson Bible. So his Bible had all these cuts in it. He went through the things he liked, he cut, he didn't like, he cut it out.
There's a lot of people like that.
Yes, they are.
There's 250 Bibles in this room, and we're all honest with ourselves.
That's right.
Are you those?
No.
Are you? Is it true? Or is it all fairy tale? If it's not true, then what are we doing here? We're wasting our time. We're fools. If we don't believe it all, we're fools. Because why would I bet my life and give up half the time of my family I give up to go follow somebody who I can't even believe what the Word of God says? If I can't believe what the Bible says, what am I doing here? These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. Keep going. Oh, I got snakes back there in a minute, guys. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will. The problem is there's a lot of people that hear that kind of scripture, they walk out. They walk out. But there's no biblical basis. Why? Why would you believe part and not all? I mean, you're a lot smarter if you just throw the whole book away. The Satanists at that Satan con, they tore up the Bible. They're smarter than half the churches in America who believe part of it to be true and part of it to lie, because that is totally illogical. So Jesus gave us specific instructions on what to do with the things that, as Dad said, we would be encountering in these last times. So I got a question for you. Help me out. Did Jesus encounter demons?
Yes.
Did he encounter evil spirits in the demonic realm?
Yes, he did.
Is the Bible saying he did?
Yes.
The Bible really says that?
Yes.
What did he do with them? How did he handle
them? Yes, the man.
What if I told you something I bet you've never counted because it don't get preached? What if I told you there's... We got t-shirts made. We got ad campaigns. We got whole ministries that devote their life to something that's said like once in the Bible. And that's okay, because if it's once in the Bible, it's true. I'm okay with that. But what I'm saying is some things are in the Bible once. But did you know there's 55 verses of Jesus casting out demons in 4 books in 3 years? 55 verses.
Yes.
Did you know there's way more verses of Jesus casting out demons than Jesus teaching? Did you know that? There's very few. Jesus gave 5 sermons that are actually written down. And it says other times he talked. We know not everything's written down. But there are more scriptures devoted to Jesus casting out demons than teaching.
Yeah.
Must be a big deal. Is it a big deal for us? Do we act like it's a big deal? So, how about this, brother? And this week we're going to be on speed round. I'm not going to read all 55. There's actually over 100 verses in the Bible that talk about demon possession. Over 100. There's more of Jesus doing this than almost any other. Jesus walked on the water once. Jesus raised 3 dead people. And there are healings, and there are all this stuff. And the Bible does say, if they couldn't, about the books of the world could not contain the miracles of Jesus. We know that. But I'm telling you, God must have wanted us to get something out of this. Or he wouldn't have put it in there over 100 times. So here we go, Lakin. Speed round. I'm going to give you just a few. Mark 1, 32 through 34. If you want to make notes, you can. I'm not reading them all. I promise you, not 55. And just going to read about 3 or 4 real quick verses. Mark 1, 32 through 34. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. Next verse. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases. And he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Listen, the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't know who he was. Everybody said, who is this man? Who is this man? Who is? Even his own followers debated, who is this man? Who is this man? The very demons he cast out, they knew who he was. They knew who he was. And they still know who he was. And if you got demons in your head, then you need to talk to the one that tells them to shut up. I just can't get shut up. Word of God says he didn't allow them to speak. All right, next verse. Mark 1, 21 through 28, Lincoln. Lincoln's doing a good job up there.
Yep.
Oh, wow, that's quick. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went to the synagogue to begin to teach. This is one of the times we get to teach. Jesus in a church. Jesus in the synagogue. He's in the temple. He's teaching. Here's what happened. These people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Next verse. Suddenly a man in the synagogue. Demons come to church. He didn't go under the bridge. He didn't go in the pen. He didn't go in the trap house. He didn't go in the crack house. He went to the church house. And suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, why are you interfering with... Next verse, lady. Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God. Did I do my line up? We went into Angola on death row one time. And we're not even preaching this kind of stuff. We're not even on the radar. Maybe it had been, but we weren't at the time. We go into death row. We're going down the aisle trying to minister with certain people, and there were awesome things that happened. But one guy, we go across the cell to the left. He's to my right. I'll never forget it. We spent a week in Angola Penitentiary. We stayed inside. On purpose. Now, I wouldn't have stayed a year, but I stayed a week. And we walked by, and dude shrieked. He went in the corner, and he gave this very quote. He didn't call it Jesus. But he said, why have you come to torment me? We had not said a word to dude. I didn't have a cross. I sure didn't wear a suit, I promise you. I didn't look like no preacher. I wasn't walking like he wasn't walking like no preacher. But there was something inside. There was something inside that hell recognized. That hell in our heads, we're tormented, and we don't call it demons, we just call it your life. But you call it what you want to, I'll call it what Jesus called it. But we're talking about Jesus tells them to be quiet. Come out of the man, he ordered. Next verse. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and came out of him. One more. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority, even evil spirits obey his orders. Matthew 12 and 22, I'm not going to read it, but you can cite that if you're writing notes from your notes. Luke 8, 2, Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' followers, who followed him along with the 12, as did another woman who had been delivered. She was delivered of 7 demons that he cast out of her, Mary Magdalene. Mark 3, 10 through, go ahead and pull up Mark 3, 10 through 12. Mark 3, 10 through 12. We're almost done. We're getting there. We'll be done shortly. He had healed many people that day, so all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. Next verse. And wherever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, the spirits would throw them to the ground in front of him, shrieking, "You are the Son of God." Next verse. But Jesus sternly commanded the spirits not to reveal who he was. Listen, there's no power struggle between Jesus and demonic activity.
That's right. That's right.
What Jesus says, they do.
Yes, yes.
What Jesus says, the devil does. What Jesus says, demons do. When he says shut up, they shut up.
Yes, yes.
When he says be gone, they be gone. Now the last one I'm going to read is Mark 5. When Jesus got to the other side of the region, went through the hell storm, went through the demonic storm to get there. They found the Gadarene. I'll just summarize it. It's a lot of scripture. You go back and read Mark 5, 1 through 20. He gets on the shore. The man comes and throws himself down to Jesus' feet and begs, and Jesus has a conversation with the demons, and he casts them out to a herd of pigs, and they destroy themselves. The man was in a graveyard cutting.
Come on.
That man was just like the pigs. Kind of like the teaching Wednesday night, the flies and the sheep's head. Demons are real, guys, and
they're
meant to destroy you. They're meant to destroy your purpose, but they're meant to destroy your life. Just like they destroyed those pigs. They're meant to take you down. So I've just read to you that Jesus said, do what I do. Y'all still love me?
Yes!
Is the Word of God still the Word of God?
Yes!
Is I already read some of it we don't always read? Is it okay to read that?
Yes.
We're not banning. I know we're banning books, but we're not banning the Bible, are we?
No.
Okay. That's the one book you better not ban.
That's right.
You ban that, they can just take me on Mountain City. I'll take my Bible on Tennessee side. At least got buddies
yes,
over
sir.
There. I'll take my Bible on the Tennessee side. We'll pick our spot. It's in here, guys. So if Jesus told us this is what we should do with demons, and he demonstrated that 55 times in the scriptures, and I just read 5 of them. If Jesus did that, he told you to do that. And he not only said do as I do, vaguely, but he said specifically that's what you should do. So if Jesus told you that was what you should do, what do we make of this? Is the Bible foolish? What do you make of it? The Bible says it, do we reject what we don't are comfortable with? Because I'm really not comfortable with this way. I'm really not comfortable with it. Thank you. He still loves me. He must not like me. I'm really not comfortable with this. I really am not. But what do I make of what the Word of God says? What do I do? I mean, I'm like you guys. I'm on a journey. I don't know everything. I'm learning. But what do I make of things that I don't understand but are clearly in the Word of God? And I'm going to be honest with you guys, that's where I am. That's where I am. I'm with you guys. And so the question I have is this. I just read all this stuff, and I just read it's one of the most prominent characteristics in the whole gospel. In fact, his disciples didn't even know the plan of salvation until he was resurrected. I don't even know if some of them figured it out then. But they watched him cast out demon after demon after demon after demon. So I have this question for you and me. Because we're trying to be like Jesus, right? What would Jesus do? WWJD, thank you, Dr. Garrett Sheldon and his grandpa. I mean that with respect, breaking in.
Yes.
And his grandfather wrote that book. It was a movement of God back in the 90s or whenever. He did a review of it. And it's an awesome thing. I believe you. I believe that in that movement. We should do what Jesus did. And even greater, as the scripture said. Literally. So maybe we wear that bracelet and look at it, maybe WWJD, maybe that's what we should ask ourselves. What would Jesus do?
Yes.
So my question for us is this, as a church, as people just living on this planet trying to figure it out. If that's what Jesus did the whole time he was here, where did the demons go? Everywhere Jesus went, there's demons. And he's encountering them. He's recognizing them. He's taking authority over them. And he's casting out. Where'd they go? Where'd they go, James? They retired? They're down in Florida. They're living in the villages. They're in Florida. They're in a retirement community. They cashed out the 401k. Where are they? Did they just quit? Did they all just say, all right, well, I'm tired of being the devil. I want to play golf.
No.
I want to fish.
Capitol Hill.
Where are they, Dad? Because sometimes I wonder, as followers of Jesus who are supposed to emulate Jesus, then why am I not seeing the things Jesus told me I should see? Jesus told me to do this. So did he lie to me?
No.
Did he change his mind one day? What do you make of that? He told us to do this. Where'd they all go? I'm going to read the scripture. We're done after that. We'll talk just a minute. We're wrapping it up. Because I want you to chew on that for a second. I want you to chew on this question of where do demons go? Mark 16:16. Mark 16:16. And this is really where I want you to focus this message on. I'm sorry, did I say Mark? I preach so much out of Mark. Acts 16:16. We're going to talk about Paul for 1 second. Three verses. Acts 16. Here's what it says. They're in Philippi. Okay? And so it's Paul and Silas. And they're walking. This is what it said. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, they were on their way to church. Why does the devil always show up on your way to church?
Come on.
Some of y'all never fought with your wife till 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, I promise you. Or husband or whatever. Some of you get along with everybody on Facebook till 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Some of you love everybody on Saturday night. Sunday morning, all of a sudden, I'm mad at the world.
Hey, that's right. That's real. Thank you.
Devil kept me from going to church this morning. He didn't keep you from going to Applebee's yesterday. Anyway, I want to read the scripture. The last scripture I've got, I believe, amen. One day we were going down to the place of prayer. We met a demon-possessed slave girl. Now, this isn't Jesus anymore, it's Paul. I'm not going to tell you about it, but I'm reading some of the scripture. That we're not getting into that, and I promise you, we're stopping here with the slave girl. Okay? We met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They have come to tell you to be saved, how to be saved." So catch this. They're walking to prayer every day. And she's following along, demon-possessed, fortune teller girl, screaming the whole time, "These guys know Jesus! These guys know Jesus! Woo! Come see them! Come see them!" So if you let me up here preaching and somebody gets up here, "Woo! Jesus is good! Woo! Jesus is good!" And there's a place for that sometimes. But what this demon was doing was distracting people from the message that Jesus was trying to give, or Paul was trying to give. So here's what Paul did. This went on day after day until Paul got so exacerbated. Some translations say fed up. The message says fed up. It says he got aggravated. "I'm trying to fulfill the Great Commission here, little girl." He got fed up. And he turned around and said not to the girl. That's where you missed it. He didn't punch the girl out.
Yes.
He didn't even scold the girl. He turned around and looked at the demon in her. He turned around and he called out the demon. He says, "I command you," this is Paul, "in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And instantly it left her.
Yes.
The Greek translation literally says she had a python spirit in her, which is why the pastor uses that word. The word, the python spirit, was meant to constrict out purpose. What was meant to happen there was to defeat the purpose of what was going on that day when Paul walked to the tent. It was a distracting spirit meant to draw attention to itself. Wasn't the girl? Wasn't the girl? It was the devil, the demon. Yeah, Ephesians 6:12, "We do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces, dark rulers in high places." But here's what I want you to get. This is where really what we need to understand as a church. You still love me?
Yes!
You mean Paul also cast out demons? Remember those boys, I'm not going to read it, but you remember the boys, the sons of Stephen? They went to try to cast some out and they weren't hooked up. And then demons just looked at them and said, "Oh, I know Jesus and I've heard Paul, but who are you, Jack? Who are you, Jack?" "I know Jesus and I know Pastor R, but who's your Jack?" Here's where we're at. You say, "I ask you a question. Where'd the demons go?" We started tolerating demons. They feel welcome here. They feel welcome in your home. They feel welcome in my home.
Come on.
I fed them. I've been leaving out some stuff, feeding them. I called in the fisheries one time about a bear. I got a bear problem. We got a bear problem ruined there. I need a donation for a grill. A really nice grill. A weaver grill. Pimped out. You know why? Because it's the one thing I use every day is the grill. My wife is the most wonderful cook in the world. I said my wife's the most wonderful. You about ready to yell at me? Wait till the preacher finishes. You was about to get a blessing and you rebuked him. So all you all that were offended by this word. She cooks wonderful food, but we use our grill more than anything. We don't cook on a stove a whole lot. We use a grill. And he turned it over, destroyed it. Because all the knobs, all the valves inside, I mean, you'd have to be some kind of electrical. If I've got any grill mechanics in the room. But you know why the bears are coming around now? Because we've been feeding them. Because we've been leaving out of trash. Because we got stuff laying around. All of a sudden, the bears ain't scared no more, boo. I ain't been shooting bears. I've been feeding bears. I've not been shooting varmints. I've been tolerating varmints. I've not been casting out demons. I've been tolerating demons. You know why you don't recognize you're here? Because we're comfortable with it. Now, I said I wasn't going to get into current events too much, and I'm not. But I will a little bit. I hear everybody talking about all this stuff out there. And I have to admit, it's offensive. I watched a highlight on YouTube. I don't even know these musicians' names. But they're, you know, they show, you can watch and see what's going on in the world. And they show this guy on this major network award show doing purely satanic rituals to his song. All this talk, there's so much overt demonic activity in our face. When I was a kid, it was subtle. You had to play the record backwards, and it was like, "Brr, devil, brr, devil." Listen to me. The devil's bold right now.
Yes, he is.
He's like a bear walking up to you. He ain't scared no more. He's bold. He's not hiding behind something. He's not trying to sneak in with some kind of little teddy bear character. They're coming right out in the open and saying, "We are the Church of Satan. We are a real religion, and you need to give us respect." And people are buying this load of junk. The demons have come out of the closet. And they are saying, "This is us, and we are proud." But myself, we don't need to be yelling at the people, the little slave girls. What we've got to look at is take house cleaning.
Yes.
And say, we are supposed to be kingdoms of the kingdom, leaders of the kingdom, advancing the kingdom of Christ. We are supposed to be the head of our household, John.
Yes.
What goes on in this household is on me. What goes on in your household is on you. That's Bible. We don't need to be yelling at these musicians. We need to be looking at our own lives and saying, "Why are we tolerating this to happen?" Because what we're doing in our household is what's leading to this mess. It's what's leading to our lack of purpose. It's what. So when I'm talking about doing as Jesus does and cast out demons, I'm not talking about putting on a dog and pony show to make people come and look or to scare people or to act like a fruitcake. I'm talking about gaining and powering back in your life so that we can achieve our purpose and take authority. We got chaos in the schools and the churches. And it's because of what we've allowed to gradually creep in. You know in nature what they do, Cliff, with a bear that gets comfortable with humans? They shoot it. You know why? Because it's dangerous from that point on. Once the demonic gets comfortable coming in our churches, coming in our homes, getting on TV and saying, we're not even hiding anymore. You don't have to play us backwards. We are Satan. Once they get that bold, that's where we are, folks. Where'd the demons go? They're in my house. You know why? Because I let them in. They got plenty to eat. Call the exterminator. Get rid of my roaches. Get rid of your junk food problem. Get rid of your crumb problem. Clean your nasty self. That's what they told me. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes I'm a little messy, maybe. Not too bad. I'm probably OCD the other way, aren't I? I'm actually probably OCD the other way.
I ain't never seen too much left on your plate.
True. I believe God is taking us to a new place.
Yes, He is.
But it's going to require you and I starting, not starting, I know we're trying. We're going to have to believe Him for His word.
Yes.
And that word will challenge you if we're going to go next level. Now, some won't. Some will say, no, I'm going back. I was in, but now I pulled out Kool-Aid. I'm done. And I'm not talking about this church, Lost Creek. I'm talking about the body of Christ.
Right.
We're part of it. But there's many churches and many believers. There's churches in Florida. There's churches in California. There's churches in China. There's churches all over the place. We have to be ready in these last days as the demonic gets more and more bold to know where we are, to know who our enemy is. And like Paul, we got to start getting mad, guys.
Yes, we do.
Not mad at people. But you better get mad. Because you wonder why we have all this chaos in our life? It's time we get mad.
Yes.
We've accepted too much and now there's chaos in the streets. They said that about us. I'm done. We're finishing. They said that about us at 9/11. They said, I don't know. This is not a political statement. I don't know what parties are involved. I just know they said what happens. We let terrorism grow up over there. And eventually it came to us in our back door. We've let the little things go.
Yes.
And all of a sudden the towers are falling. It's time to take authority. It's time to take responsibility. It's time to believe the Bible and understand it really is real. And if anybody tells you that they have a form of God, if there's anybody you know that has a form of godliness and there's no power therein, in other words, they don't believe what the Bible says and says clearly, then you should do what the Bible says to do. Run from them. Flee from them. Separate from them. If you have a form of godliness and you don't believe in the power that the Bible says we should have, then you need to be delivered of that religious spirit this morning. Because I'm telling you, we've tolerated witches.
Yep.
Oh, you mean the Wizard of Oz? That's harmless.
No, it's not.
Wicca's a major religion now. They practice that in prison. It's witchcraft.
Yeah.
New Age. White witch.
Yeah.
We've tolerated religion. Oh, you know all that stuff. You don't need to believe all that stuff. Just go to the Bible, just lock yourself in a room and don't change the world, don't do nothing, try not to do anything bad, don't cuss. The Lord, for goodness sake, don't cuss. You don't have to deliver a demon. You don't have to lay hands on the sick and see him healed. Just don't cuss. I hope you get my humor.
Yeah.
It's funny things we'll get all worked up about. But we allow so much.
Yes.
Python spirits.
Yeah.
Come out.
Yes.
Religious spirits. Jezebel spirits.
Yes.
Come on.
Stop trying to control everything.
Yes.
You're not welcome here.
Right.
spirits, demonic spirits of all types, we've got to make them not welcome in our life. And you know what we got to do? We got to recognize them again. And we got to cast them out of our homes. We got to cast them out. We got to be leaders for our children. We got to watch the gates. And I'm not talking behind no, I'm going to sound like that old preacher in the 84 that I just wanted to punch out when he went in and burned all my CDs.
I love him.
You take great enjoyment in this, don't you? He takes great enjoyment in this. He takes great enjoyment because chickens have come back to roost, Tony. He takes great enjoyment in this. Because every time I roll my eyes secretly with headphones on my ears, listening to Motley Crue shout at the devil or whatever I was listening to, hell was throwing a party at my expense.
Yes! That's right.
Now I'm that guy. Alright. I might be that guy, but I'll sleep at night now. Let me say this to finish. We've had a rash, is that a word? Not the skin disorder. I've got a rash. You want to see Gerald? Now it really is John 6:66. Now somebody will really off the book. I was kind of falling over with the casting out devils that Jesus said, but when he started talking about his rash, I was done. We've had a series of people in leadership who have been attacked recently by anxiety and spiritual attacks. Can I be real?
Yes.
And I won't tell you all the names, I'll tell you one because it's me. But I won't tell everybody else because they didn't give me permission. They might, they probably would if they were here, but I'm not going to do some of them on here. And what they were doing is, we were all doing a lot of the same stuff. I was waking up at 4, and I said this a few weeks ago, but first time I've ever admitted it. I never even told them until recently, my parents. I think Val knew to an extent. I don't talk a lot, but she squeezes a few things out of them. You make a face like, duh. Of course you don't talk a lot. But it wasn't just me. When this other person gave their testimony, and then I started talking to other people, and my wife, but people that I wasn't even like communicating with really, said, I'm waking up before something too. They actually told me first, I need you to pray for me, or I heard maybe, we need you to pray for us, I'm waking up before something, and I'm having this terrible anxiety that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, whoa. You know, because when lots of people get the same thing, it's like we might have an outbreak. Right? You keep changing the world, soldier. You cast them out in there, in Jesus' name. Here's the weird thing. I've never had anxiety in my life.
Come on, keep it real.
I mean, I'm the kind of guy that they laugh at. I would get up on the edge of a cliff and put one toe over. Ooh!
Actually,
I have done it, yeah. I mean, I'm a thrill seeker by trade. I'm not somebody who spends sleepless nights anxious morning. 4 o'clock in the morning. Night. After night, waking up my heart. Couldn't think. Irrational thoughts. Paranoia. And we started figuring out as the family kind of together starts realizing that us and other ministry leaders in here, not in brothers or our family, were being attacked the same way. It led us to start, let us all separately to start seeking God, what is oppressing us and why? And I started realizing that maybe, and I'm not going to teach it all tonight, I mean today, that'll come later with some teaching at some point, that those that don't jump off. But I started realizing that and things in my life will just haunt things. I don't freak anybody out. They were pressing. And minor things I had allowed in had grown. They started feeding on my junk.
How was your tent?
It got to the point where I was miserable. And I didn't show it here. I was still praying, preaching, loving God, loving people the best I could. But that's what I felt inside. I remember when Jenny went to her, she just went to a funk, and I thought she was mad at me. I really did. I thought she's mad, she don't like me anymore. She. We were all, but it was just, it wasn't that. I mean, has anybody ever, you don't have to say it. And so I started this process of looking at my life, and I started looking at what tolerating demons means. Doesn't mean I was doing Ouija boards. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. I don't like heavy metal music anymore. I never really liked a lot. Maybe about a week in 86. I know the music I like, but maybe some of that wasn't good either. But I wasn't watching bad movies. We were still doing a lot of the same stuff we'd always done. But God started talking to me, and he said, "When you, like Paul, you've not been mad at the demons. You've tolerated them." And I started thinking, what does that tolerating something mean? It means I've given my implied consent to be there. Now you can give consent. You can go put a Satan 666 on your head and say, "I worship the devil." That's consent. You just signed a contract. I doubt there's anybody here done that. Or maybe you did in the past. I doubt there's anybody here that's not rescinded that, I hope. If there's so, take care of that. But what I had done is given implied consent that I created an atmosphere by my toleration that the demonic was comfortable in my presence. So that makes sense. That's implied consent. You see, hell should not be comfortable in your presence. When Jesus walked in, they said, "Son of man, have mercy." Didn't sit down, pull up a bag of chips, put his feet up and say, "Where's the moat, Jack?" So I just wonder how much of our lack of purpose and our chaos in our families and our homes. Not beating anybody up. I'm talking to us. We start with us. I tell you, we're the ones who went through this crap first. You all might have been the same time. I don't know. But I'm telling you, I'm not up here pointing at you. I'm saying, up here we... If we... Maybe some of this chaos and dysfunction in our lives are because of the implied consent that we're given by what we allow in and what we do. What thoughts, what apathy, what judgment, whatever. Unforgiveness, bitterness. I'm not going to teach all this today. I promise you, we're done. But I do want to tell you this. Once we started revoking consent, and once we as a family started going down this line of seeing what Jesus did and trying to do what Jesus did, it's just been a recent thing. I know they've done everything over the year. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about we've made a conscious effort lately as a family to do this. To start recognizing what Jesus said and start examining our own life and take ownership that we're here to advance the kingdom and that what happens in my house is my responsibility. And we started praying and we started revoking consent and we started talking the way Jesus talked and told us to talk, which honestly I had never done.
Get on this, guys.
I've preached, and I'm not bragging because he's preached 50 years, But in my short time, I've preached so many sermons. I've been to so many prisons. I've seen thousands, honestly, not to me, it was all the glory of God. People come to an altar. But I have never uttered these words. I've never done what Jesus told me to do fully. And when we started doing this as a family, I started sleeping. And we did with some other people. They started sleeping all night long. And maybe sleeping all night and not being tormented is not a big deal for you right now. I pray to God not. But that was such a big deal for me. That was such a big deal for me. So thank you for listening to all this. I think this is just opening up a can of worms. I don't think it wasn't meant to be some teaching or anything. It was meant to let you know that we're an important point in human history. And you're an important point in your life. And I believe with all my heart God is telling us for this hour, it's time to start doing what the Word says to do and take power and authority over our lives. Take power and authority spiritually over the spiritual realm, because we should be more in kingdom than we are on earth.
Yes.
Get your horn filled with the oil Saul has done. You know what I like about that word too? It also put egg in Saul in Samuel's face, because he was also the one who went to people and said, "This is your king." And so now he's made a big mistake, you know. Anyway, put some oil in your horn. So thank you for being patient. Cast your bow your heads. I know I took a little while. I didn't mean to. I promise you I didn't mean to. I have no desire. I got stuff I like to do too. Just bear with me 1 second. Is anybody in this room that you can say it feels sometimes like hell's coming against me, and I don't know what it is. Did anybody feel anything when I was talking about that anxiety at night and all that? Did anybody, or is it just me? I know it's weird for a big guy my size to say that and admit that. But that's real. That was real for me. It's being real for my family. Amen. Amen. I'm praying that God's going to change that for you today. It's a process, really. It's a process. You get saved, then you get called, then you start casting out stuff. Can't stop before we get through the process. Is everybody in this room right now? Please be with me for just a minute. We're done. No movement right now unless somebody has a seizure or something. I repeat that right now in Jesus' name. Is there anybody in this room right now that you don't know where you stand with Jesus? Would you just lift your hand with mine? Nobody's looking. I want to know. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands. The reason that's important is because I just said hell is coming at us, and you know it's true. You know what I've said is true. Everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. Hell is coming at us. This thing's revving up. And if you don't know Jesus, you have no protection. Zero. You're a sitting duck. You're like a limp. I'm not making fun of you. I'm saying I've been there. But you're a limp deer in the middle of the savanna, and a lion with a pretend lion is up there looking at you. So we can fix that easy. I want to introduce you to Jesus today. So those that said they didn't know right now where they stand with Jesus, would you put your hand up again? Be brave. Every hand that did, I want you to put your hand up again. Keep it up for just a second. Would you be brave enough, and nobody's still looking, I want people to keep your eyes closed, to stand? Because the Bible says we have to be willing not to be ashamed of Him, or He will be ashamed of us. Would you stand with nobody looking? Thank you for standing. Others that raise your hand, if you really want this, you better be willing to stand. It won't come to you otherwise. I don't mean you have to stand. I mean you can have no legs to get Jesus. But I mean you can't fight. You can't really change your life just sitting back. And you got to go for it sometimes. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Father, everybody sit with everybody. Father, I'm a sinner. I've made plenty of mistakes. I know you died for me.
And I know you got up from the
grave.
And I know with all my heart
that your blood
is more than enough
to cover my sins.
I'm sorry.
Forgive me.
I want to make you my Lord.
I want to follow you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Today,
for saving
me.
I want you to hold that thought.
Just stay standing, please.
Now, the people I asked earlier in this room, in your life, you know you have chaos in your home.
And God is showing you that you want to do something about that.
You have anxiety in you or chaos in your home, or problems in your home
that could be spiritual.
Probably are.
Would you be able to raise your hand right now?
Say, I want to do something about that today.
I want to do something about that today. I want to take authority over that today.
I want to revoke any consent that my actions have caused.
And I want to start fresh.
I want the Holy Spirit attached to my life to be the Holy Spirit.
I take ownership today.
I take ownership of my apathy.
I take ownership of what I've allowed to come in.
I'm not blaming other people.
I'm owning it today.
I'm owning it today.
Right now, I want everybody to say this out loud.
There's plenty of hands. You don't have to if you don't need it. There's plenty of hands.
Right now, I revoke
all consent.
All consent.
Implied.
Implied.
Or otherwise.
Or otherwise.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to ask you to come to this altar when I count to three. People are going to pray for me. And I'm going to challenge you. Whatever that spirit that's attached to your life, whether it be oppression, anxiety, infirmity, whatever it is, that we're going to believe it, it's going to get cast out in Jesus' name, okay? Not going to be here all day? That's another thing. That's another, a whole other deal. But I want you to come get free today. I want to see some people get free. So put your hands back up. Come on, get to your feet if you had your hands up. Come on, just start to come. One, two, three. Just start to come. And I need some prayer warriors up here. You don't worry about that. Yeah, you come on. I need some prayer warriors up here to start praying for some people. And if you gave your life to Jesus, would you come on forward and just bow down and let him minister to you a little bit? We're just going to pray for people. Take your time. Take your time. You're welcome to come to this altar. Is anybody mad at me now? Anybody mad at me? Did I cuss anybody out? I love you. I really do. I love you. I did my best to tell you what the gospel says. So the altars are open, okay?